Happy Father's Day. And today I want to talk about Father's Day and forgiveness. Christ, in the book Christ Returns, reveals startling truth. He does a real thorough job of describing the aspect of energy that he refers to in various ways, male energy or father intelligence and other ways. Father energy plus mother energy combine the form created objects. We know that on a physical level regarding our mothers and fathers, but he's talking about these two energy forms that go beyond humankind, that go into forming what we perceive in the visible universe. Men and women have both sets of characteristics, with one set or the other predominating. You know, it's the understanding of the male characteristics, these divinely intended roles of the man in relationship with the female and with the divine, that is going to contribute to making the world peaceful. One of the obvious characteristics of the male is that the male has the urge to plant seeds. This is pretty obvious if you consider the sexual relationships of human beings and other animal forms. Ideas, though, are seeds. They're seed thoughts, so planting ideas in the minds and hearts of others is a common practice, too. It's not restricted only to men, obviously, but it is one of the primary urges. This planting seeds is an aspect of the electric nature of males, and of course women have this electric nature, too. We're both electromagnetic, both males and females. The Earth and the Sun are also electromagnetic. So the Sun is electromagnetic, the Earth is electromagnetic, women are electromagnetic, men are electromagnetic. Everything that we perceive is electromagnetic. So men tend to be more electric, generally speaking, and women tend to be more magnetic. Having an idea, that is, receiving it, is easier than planting it. Planting a seed is easier than nurturing the growth of that seed until full physical manifestation occurs. So if I would say this as a man, that the job of being a man is far easier than the job of being a woman. We all want to be healthy, happy, and successful. I think the same thing could be said of all living things. If we take into account that not all living things spend quite as much time as we do talking about it, thinking about it, writing about it, all kinds of things, and taking efforts, taking action to be healthy, happy, and successful. Of course, their awareness of those three words, healthy, happy, successful, would be different than ours if we could get plant life and other animals to define those for us. This morning I put out some peanuts in the shell for a squirrel we see occasionally in our yard and running up our screen. While I was there, I looked at a lemon tree. We have a Meyer lemon tree growing in our backyard. And the tree has a whole bunch of little lemons growing on it, maybe the size of golf balls or a little bit larger. In order for these lemons, the fruit of this particular living thing, to be healthy, they need to remain connected to their roots. Of course, we know that the lemons at the end of the branch are not directly connected to the roots. Instead, we would say the fruit is connected to the branch is connected to the trunk of the tree, and the trunk of the tree is what is directly connected to the roots of the tree. I believe that in order for human beings to be healthy, happy, and successful, they too need to be connected to their roots, directly and indirectly. The second main and necessary aspect of being healthy and happy and successful is for the energy that flows between the roots and the fruits being us, is that energy needs to be positive and nourishing. As far as I know, the roots of the lemon tree draws nutrition and nutrients and chemicals and molecules and electrons from the earth and sends them up to the fruit. The leaves breathe, taking in carbon dioxide and exhaling oxygen. That's pretty convenient, because people inhale oxygen and we exhale carbon dioxide. And it seems as though that relationship has been divinely designed for cooperation between plants and human beings. Yeah, I'll breathe in what you give me, and I'll breathe out what you need, and vice versa. So it's nice if we could cooperate with plants instead of turning everything into strip malls. I don't know if the lemons on the end of the branches give back to the branches themselves or to the trunk or to the roots of the trees. I do know, though, with certain plants such as tomato plants, as long as the tomatoes are picked from the vine, some signaling must be occurring because the roots and the vine will continue to produce fruit, keep growing. When the fruit is no longer picked, the vine and the roots of that tomato plant will start to die. As a human, and as the fruit of our parents, due to our consciousness, we've got the ability to influence that flow of energy from our roots to us and from us back to our roots. That's more obvious, and it's real powerful. My wife Marianne owns a winery in Sonoma Valley, California. She told me of a process of grafting one type of vine onto another. The vine that grows deep into the soil is referred to as the root stock. The upper portion of the vine that is attached or grafted onto the root stock is called the fruit stock. I found that idea pretty interesting when I first heard it. The hardy, strong root stock can endure tougher climatic conditions than many vines. The fruit stock are chosen for the varieties of grapes that will come out of them, as well as the quality of the fruit. The naturally occurring roots, however, might not be suitable for the growing conditions in a particular area, and it's for this reason that grafting the strengths of the rootstock along with the qualities of the fruitstock can make for an ideal vineyard in Sonoma County, California. It comes as no surprise to you or to me or anybody else who has heard anything at all about the birds and the bees that our physical bodies are the result of the combination of an aspect of our fathers and an aspect of our mothers. Said another way, our fathers and our mothers are the nearest section of the vine that produced us, the fruit, in their lives. Our grandparents, our great-great-grandparents, our great-great-grandparents and earlier are the vines that existed before and produced each generation of fruit that in turn grew into a vine. In the grape growing business, what makes a healthy fruit? The amount and quality of nourishment that is provided to the fruit by both the rootstock and the fruitstock. That energy flow is key. The root reaches into the earth and draws nutrition and vital energies from it and then sends them up to the fruit stock for delivery to the offspring. In the ideal conditions with human babies and grapes, the exact right amount and type of nourishment would be provided. You and I know ideal conditions rarely happen. What is much more frequent is that the conditions surrounding our parents and the vines are harsh. Delivering nourishment is a struggle. This pattern of undernourished fruit becoming undernourishing vines, producing undernourished fruit becoming undernourished vines, is obvious in human society. Understanding that this can happen gives us the opportunity to change what has happened. We can actually change the past from where we are now. When we recognize that what we call the past is really a bunch of energy patterns that we have attached meaning to, we then have the power to change them. Because we are the ones who added the meaning to the event, we can change the meanings to those events anytime we want to. If our connection to our roots is not allowing the flow of energy to us that we need, even as adults, we can heal that situation and make it be different. Most of us give this meaning to the events in our lives. I didn't get the love or attention or nurturing I wanted in my childhood. It's true. We didn't get enough of what we wanted. We didn't get enough ice cream either. We didn't get enough cookies or candy or cake or toys. Our wants and our needs were greater than the delivery capacity of our parents. The ideal end of a grape's life in wine country, I'll project this to be it, to become part of a bottle of wine that will be enjoyed in a loving social gathering of friends. It doesn't always happen that way, but that sounds like one ideal finish to the life of a grape. For us as humans, though, it's different. We grow from being the fruit to being the fruit producer. This happens generation after generation. And the fruit we produce can be children, can be businesses, can be works of art, could be lots of other forms of expression, not only children. Here's a fact about vines, grapes, and vineyards that's applicable to our lives and the meanings we've attached to our experiences. Tough soil and weather conditions of a certain type are more beneficial to producing grapefruit than fertile soil and benign weather. In California, Sonoma County, the soil is rocky and hard, and not all that fertile. And the weather is hot during the daytime and cold during the night during growing season. The lack of water causes the roots to grow deeper and deeper in search of water and nutrition to send up to the fruit. More energy is devoted to the fruit than in growing leaves or vines, which is what happens when the soil is very fertile and growing conditions are very benign. Much less energy gets to the final result or the fruit. In times of scarcity of water and nutrition, what does the root do? It reaches deeper and deeper into the earth. It grows more roots. You and I are going to both recognize that in times of scarcity in our lives, we grew spiritual roots as we reach deeper and deeper into our spiritual center. We would have also had experiences when, instead of doing that, we beat ourselves up as if there was something wrong with us. That the scarcity was our cause. We caused it. We were to blame for it. There wasn't anything wrong with us. We just needed to reach out and reach inward in thought and feeling, seeking the energy and awareness so that the meaning we created would serve us and others and keep that energy flow going. Here's something obvious about fathers that I want to reiterate. All fathers are expressing their levels of consciousness or awareness. The thoughts they think, the feelings they feel, the words they speak, and the actions they take come out of their inventory of experiences of pain, happiness, good feelings, bad feelings, misunderstanding, their highest value, their fears, their ego, their beliefs about themselves and life and other people. This entire inventory is what makes up their consciousness. All people, all of us, act from our level of consciousness. The key is to growth and happiness is to continue reaching out for a higher consciousness, to a higher consciousness, for additional awareness. Almost like the roots, we reach out from someplace we are to someplace we are not for this connection. It's as if we keep elevating our consciousness so our thoughts, feelings, words, actions are more often based in love than in fear, in abundance rather than in scarcity. As we all know, our fathers and those of us who are fathers, we thought, we felt, we said, and we did many things from our lower awareness. After the fact, guilt, regret, or justification and blaming others were very common occurrences. For those of us on the receiving end of those energy exchanges with fathers acting from their lower awareness, we frequently interpreted these exchanges as evidence that there was something bad in us. And there's something bad about fathers, and there's something bad about men, and perhaps even there must be something bad about God because of this behavior. And then we ended up with anger or hurt or guilt or blame and fear of more abandonment, that is being disconnected against our will, and distrust of life, and distrust of ourselves, and ultimately self-rejection. If I put it into words analogous to grapevines, I would say that there were and probably still are breaks between our fathers, the roots, and us, the fruits. That's an important concept, even if your father has been dead or otherwise out of your life for years. It may appear that once a father plants the seed that results in pregnancy, his energetic value has pretty much ended. I don't think so. I believe that we stay connected energetically if we allow it and are personally aware. If we don't allow it, or we're not aware of the importance of this connection, we can cut ourselves off from that life-sustaining energy flow that comes through that male side of us. When I was growing up, I used to watch a TV program called Ozzie and Harriet. Occasionally, I would watch Leave It to Beaver. I wanted my father and mother to be like Ozzie and Harriet, or Ward and June Cleaver. They weren't. And my home wasn't anything like the home shown in those television programs. Looking back, though, I realize now that it wasn't my parents' job to be like these fictional characters. My parents' jobs were to develop their own consciousness to the higher levels as best they could, and to help their children develop their consciousnesses as best they could. Not to satisfy every physical need or want. It'd be nice, I suppose, if they satisfied those needs, but not every want, because you end up in real benign soil, and it doesn't make for any kind of spiritual growth that we would have chosen to come into this life to experience and to develop. There's another concept to be considered, time. Most of us think of time in small units, minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, years. Occasionally we will think in terms of decades or segments like my high school years, my college years, the years I worked at company A or B or C, or my overall career, or now for baby boomers we think in terms of retirement years. Less frequently, some of us may have the viewpoint to think about our lifetime and legacy. We're seeing the unit now as a lifetime. But there's more. In Christ's return, reveals startling truth. Christ says that the information in this book will be the foundation of spiritual advancement for the coming millennium. He's talking in terms of 1,000 years. We've already been dealing with, and in whatever form we've been trying, to understand the information he imparted 2,000 years ago. So we've been trying to grow our consciousness for 2,000 years based upon his input. And now we're going to do it, presumably, for the next 1,000 years. I'd like to quote from the book. This is from Letter 5, page 195. Exactly as 2,000 years before, I have now come through the medium of these letters to lay the foundation for future spiritual evolution during the next millennium. Your spiritual development can only arise out of your deeper perceptions and understanding of the nature of existence and of that which brought you into being. For what you clearly perceive creates the conditions under which you live. Instead of us thinking in terms of time as years or single lifetime, we could be much better off if we thought of this lifetime as one of a series of many lifetimes, and the purpose of each lifetime is to grow our understanding of the nature of existence and that which brought us into being, whatever you label that creative energy, that God energy, that divine consciousness. If we could understand that, different experience. So just think of that. We now start thinking of a series of lifetimes, all with the purpose of advancing us spiritually toward our relationship with our Creator. As we offer high vibration to the object of our attention, our fathers and others, we advance spiritually, As we offer low vibrations or no vibrations to the object of our attention, our Father and others, we slow down or stop our advancement. If we could speak to a healthy plant and then to an unhealthy plant, we could ask, "Why are you healthy?" And the answer might be, "Because I am well connected to my roots." And the unhealthy plant may say, "Because I am not well connected to my roots." When I talk of my roots and your roots, I'm talking about our identity, the one that we've drawn from our fathers and our mothers, from our living conditions, from our family of origin, from our ethnic backgrounds, from our race information, from our cultures, from our religious inventory of information, about how we feel about these factors, about ourselves and others. All of that information is what is feeding us one way or another. And if we can learn to offer high vibration energy to each of the things, when we put our attention on them, we're going to be advancing spiritually. If we can look deep into our experiences and seek to see evidence of this, the truth of existence that Christ outlines in letter one, right? And we can see evidence and know that these things have been delivered to us through our fathers, through past generations, we're going to be healing our connection with our roots. It's going to make us healthier, happier, and more successful. When we know deeply that the pain caused by our fathers was an expression of the pain they contained, it was within them and their consciousness, rather than an expression of our so-called badness, we're going to find compassion flowing into us and into our awareness. No matter how little love, no matter how little kindness we've been shown by our fathers, we can still heal our connection. This is important to us because each successive generation of fruit wants to become more spiritually evolved. I want to represent a process to you by having you draw something on a piece of paper. If you were to draw a small circle, say it's about the size of a U.S. dime or a U.S. nickel, that would be good. And then if you would just put 5 or, say, 5 to 10 dots inside of that circle, I can explain that point to you. This circle is like the cross-section of a vine or a stem of a plant. Those dots are the pathways through which energy, growth, nutrition and nourishment, healing, protection, and fulfillment of needs flows. Do you hear the items in the truth of existence in that statement? So that's how those things flow to us. And in a plant, they would flow through those pathways. These pathways or tubules in plants are called phloem vessels. Think of them as being all the events in our lives when energy flowed to us. As we choose to focus on the positive, loving, supporting energy exchanges that we've had with our fathers, our roots, those dots, those pathways, grow bigger and stronger to draw more of that energy to us. No matter how few or how many positive pathways, no matter how few or many negative pathways we now have, at this moment, we can change to have strong, positive pathways serving us for the rest of this lifetime and those in the future. If you would just take a couple of minutes, 5 minutes or so, to inventory 5, 10, 20, or more, if you've been fortunate enough, energy exchanges with your father that led you to grow, that would have provided you with growth, intellectual growth or physical growth or healing or nutrition or nourishment or healing or protection or fulfillment of your needs. When you receive this energy through the agency of your father, write those down. You already know that, just like the grapevine knows, that harsh circumstances can be beneficial to our goals of growth and producing good fruit. If you haven't taken the time to look for the good in your father, his father, the male energy in your family line, and the male energy in you, you have a great opportunity to do that now. It'll help you with forgiveness, and it will help you with Father's Day. I would like to end the service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer in letter 8 from the book Christ Returns, Reveals Startling Truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.